Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. Your front row.
For the Fiat Ducato with up to 15 cubic metres of cargo capacity. Move with more grunt.
Welcome to the Saturday Rub for McDonald's Monopoly. Triple M rocks finals footy.
Isaac Smith! Oh no! 7 seconds left! No. We'll kick after the siren!
Oh no! Oh.
There it is!
Oh, this is ridiculous.
It was always going to end this way. To win the Hawks the game and deliver them a prelim final. Isaac Smith has missed
it.
The Cats have won this game of footy.
It was an extraordinary game of football, an extraordinary finish, and it gets us a Saturday afternoon, midday, into this very, very nice room here in South Melbourne with the best in the business. And ready to go, too, as I look around. BT, we haven't got him the whole time, but I think he's going to explode in the time he's here. Hello to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, JB.
Get it out, Brian.
A bit of a look at Jack Darling a little bit later on. We'll
boy, the old Richmond board I want to speak about with you, too.
Yeah, that, and they don't call Jumping Jack for nothing.
Oh, hello. And a duck, a rare sighting on a Saturday afternoon for you. Nice to have your company.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Rosie, listeners, good to be here. Looking forward to, a couple of the cool breeze and a couple of others. Some big segments coming up.
Duck wearing a very tight, lightly knitted jumper.
Well, PT, if you got
like
it.
Looks like it's a couple of sizes small for him.
If you got it, you flaunt it, PT.
It's also got a little bit of a gangster look about it.
Damo looking nothing like any of that is here as well. Hello, Purple.
Thank you, Jim.
Damo's got
the
Gerard Waitley written all
he's
over.
He's got his grand turtleneck sort of jumper.
Grandfather's tea towel on or something.
Look at you and your club issue St Kilda rubbish.
Oh, nice. And then nice to see you, Spud.
Great to see you, JB. Oh. And geez, last week we'll touch on it, but we went to a card game just quickly. Tony Hashem card night and Warrior there. BT was there. It was a great night.
Yes.
Duck was there, BT, and Shane Warne. And everyone had to do the photo, JB.
Oh, yes.
But Duck sort of didn't want to get in the photo until Warney was there. And Warney thought, well, I'm going to wait a bit longer. It was a power play.
Where the girl was saying, come over and stand here now. Stand here, Wayne. Come over. Well, I'm not coming over until Shane.
Shane
was saying the same thing.
It was
about
like a shootout.
I actually didn't want to get in the photo because I'm sick of seeing myself in the social pages.
I have never stood in front of one of those background backdrop things where you have the deliberate social page photo, but Duck and Warney.
You were us.
Also,
you would have been up there straight away.
I was out the back, mate. But JB, head wobble. The year grand final day.
Has there been a late charge at the line?
Well, seriously, my pay. I've run out of book. I've gone through three books. Like I thought, Das had it won for his Rio stuff, all about speaking to Obama and this guy and that guy. But there's a couple of articles, especially one in the Sun today. I want to have a chat about later on.
Any hints, bud?
It's staggering. Staggering. I thought it'd be Dangerfield, Franklin, Menzel's 5 knee reconstructions, but
black caviar.
The journos are making it all about me.
I'm looking forward to it, Spud, because as you know, I'm not a newspaper reader, so I'm coming cold into this conversation.
I've had warnings from management. Just be very careful. Just do it in a light-hearted way.
Really?
So, yeah.
Or you've already had warnings.
A few warnings.
Red alert.
We haven't even started this show and you've got the warning.
Warned, I believe.
Spud's had to sign a waiver.
Anyway, we'll be right. We'll get through it.
We got that coming up. We've got, of course, the International Cool Breeze. We've got the quiz. Patrick Dangerfield to join us shortly from last night. Stewie Jew and Lenny Hayes. Massive game of footy this afternoon too in Sydney.
Hey, just on the game last night, the finish in particular, I just want to talk about Isaac Smith. I know you guys want to get into the game, into the guts of it, but just the kick last night from Isaac Smith. A couple of observations I made sitting home watching on the TV. Had plenty of time to think about it. I thought when he initially got the ball, there was a lot of chitter chatter. I wasn't sure whether it was from his teammates or he's getting a bit of a ribbing from the opposition or whatever.
There was a wry smile, wasn't there?
But he engaged in it just there for a moment. I thought, well, that's distracting enough as well. Then while he was engaging in that, he went to the start of his run-up. But the start of his run-up, I reckon, was about 2/3 of what it would normally be. So he went with a shortened version of his run-up as well, which I thought was a little unusual. And also the preparation time. Now, the umpire said something to him. Couldn't quite hear it, Damon, whether he said...
Yeah, he spoke to him.
Whether he said, you've only got your 30 seconds or whether you've got as long as you want. Don't know what it was. But he took about 20 seconds to kick that goal. He normally goes back on a pretty big long run-up, and he normally takes his full 30 seconds. I thought he rushed the kick, and then, of course, Duck, what did you think of the actual mechanics of the kick?
What is the rule? Is it? It's not clearly once a siren goes, it's a 30-second rule.
Within reason. Yeah. I mean, you could take a minute if you absolutely
Well, we're not going
to
take
I mean,
the kick off him, are they?
Well, you're right. Well, I thought normally, and as you said, normally he's a beautiful kick on the run, and we know that he's a long kick. He clearly didn't kick through the footy as he normally would from further out, so it was a bit more of a try to guide it through, and that's why it obviously
that's from the mechanics point of view. Yeah. But I thought he rushed and didn't have his normal run up. By the way,
what about the follow through
in finals? He's had 11 shots in finals, Duck, and
11 straight.
Wow.
11 straight. His last 11 shots at goal in finals have been 11 goals.
I think the umpire obviously did say to him, you can't play on because it's the end of the game. And
that's what he would have said.
Okay. He said that. He definitely said that, the umpire. But you're right, Brian. I think even a follow-through on the back page of the Herald Sun, very bent knee, not extended at all, is it?
So that's just a little thing seeing it. But
just on that, how many times do Hawthorn, and I say this in a right way, get out of jail? Like this year, you think of prelim finals in the past, Adelaide in particular a few years ago, and they've won 4 games this year.
Port Adelaide.
They didn't deserve to win, so... Swings and roundabouts. Well done to Geelong. But, gee, what a cracking game. What a great game of football.
Well, you say didn't deserve to win, Spud, but they win them. So you have to acknowledge their incredible ability to get the job done.
I actually thought for the first time Hawthorn got done to them what they do to others. And that is, Hawthorn dominated, I thought, the majority of the game periods.
I thought it was actually Hawthorn's best game for a long time.
Yeah, I totally agree. I thought they dominated, whereas Geelong were doing what Hawthorn have done all year. And that's just hang in there. And they just kicked that goal against the Tide. They stayed close enough and then all of a sudden ended up in front. So, you know, but once again, I mean, the kick out, 45 seconds, Motlop. I tell you what, he needs to lift, Motlop. And I know he kicked the goal, but a couple of little moments there. The last thing that he needed to do was have a shot there.
Yeah.
I know that they're deliberate out of bounds, but he could not give the ball back.
The only thing with that is he still had 2 shots at goal in the final moments of the game. Yeah, and I think
you're listening to Chris Scott now, and that's Chris Scott protecting his player.
No, Chris Scott doesn't need to protect his player.
Well, yes, he does. Yeah. And that's exactly what he did. He said, at least having set shots. Well, you don't. Well, you know what? He did the wrong thing. And when they look at it,
and I'm also,
I can tell
I'm
you now,
my
behind,
opinion too,
behind closed doors, Chris Scott would be saying to him, you should not have had a shot.
Oh, I know what he would be saying to him, but the facts are he still was the Geelong player who was most alive in that game and the most likely player to kick the goal that needed to be kicked to absolutely seal it. And I know what you're saying, Duck, but that's what you get with Motlop. Yeah, that is what you get with him.
He gave the ball back at a time when you didn't want to give the ball back.
I know we highlight the last kick, but Duck, you're at the broadcast, and I want to take you back to the Ferrito intentional out of bounds.
Oh.
If Geelong had got beaten...
No, point, you mean?
Yeah, the point.
Yeah,
the point.
I called that earlier in the game.
So the Hawthorn player, forget who it was, kicked the ball without any pressure straight through the...
Burton, I think it was.
Yep. Now, if Geelong get beat, that would have been the story.
Yep.
Because you'd look at the Ferrito scenario where he was under extreme pressure. He had got 2 guys hanging off him. He's handballed from 8 metres.
Yeah.
This guy kicked it through. There was no one within 15 metres of him.
They had two weeks where they gave a couple of those away. Yeah. And since then, nothing.
They need to clarify now, Brian, because we've got some big finals coming up.
And Duck made the point during the telecast. Hey, there was one where he had, as you say, the tackler actually hanging off him and got pinged as well. So what is it? Which one is it?
Yeah, be consistent. That's all we want.
But the I just want to go back to Motlop. So the option that he had then, Duck, if he wasn't to give the ball back, was what?
Yeah, well, clearly he was right on the boundary. So if he steps over, he takes the chance of it being deliberate.
He gives the ball up. But then he criticised him for doing that. Hang on, Damo.
I know you're in the spur of the moment and all of that. But I'm just saying the worst thing that could have happened for the Cats at that time was a point.
But again, as BT said, what were his alternatives?
But remember, on last night, they were red hot, particularly Dean Margetts, on out-of-bounds deliberate. So what could he have done?
Well, what he probably could have done, clearly he's on the boundary, you take the tackle and then take the tackle out-of-bounds and then it's not deliberate. That's probably one option rather than swing the ball. He's never going to kick the goal.
No. And if you take the tackle and you're deemed holding the ball, you're then criticising him for not disposing of it.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying the worst thing that could have possibly happened for the Cats at that time was a point.
Duck, the thing about it is, and I know all clubs, well, all the good clubs train, you know, last 20 seconds of game scenarios. And I remember, I reckon it was against the Hawks earlier this year with North Melbourne where Trent Dumont did a similar thing. Mm. Out of a stoppage, snap at goal, missed, it was a point, and that was the end of the game. And I remember thinking, hard to be critical of the kid because all his life in tight situations he's been taught to, you know, take the shot if it's there. But what are the instructions from the coaches in that situation? Is it, look, once you've got territory, you just got to maintain it?
Yeah, well, the instructions there would be obviously to you'd want a ball up or a boundary throw in and keep the ball and obviously then try to lock the ball in. So the last thing you want to do is do exactly that. You don't want to be having a shot from the boundary and that go through for a point because the game just didn't it open up down the middle, short chip, and then Hawthorn were out. They were out.
On the end of it, though, if he kicks the goal, they win the game.
Who? Mop-mop?
Yeah.
From the boundary and under pressure.
Well, he has done it in the past, Doug.
What about the...
It's a one in 100 shot.
But that's what we see. We see great moments all the time.
Spot on. The thing I liked about the game is percentages,
and that's why in those dying moments you play percentages.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd just be really interested in hearing, you know, maybe Stewie Jew or Lenny Hayes tell us what the instruction to the group is inside those last.
Well, they're the modern day coaches.
See what they say,
Joe. The thing I liked about the game was the two contrasting styles. You had Geelong with 170 contested ball. Hawthorn, 118.
50 plus.
Now, that's a big difference. So the get in, and Geelong only took the 65 marks. Now, Duncan, you've been all over this. Hawthorn took 113 marks. Now, they normally win any game by about 20 to 30 points.
So what does all that mean?
All that means, Brian, they've both got a great style that they believe in. Hawthorn, the uncontested chip to an uncontested mark and a rifle-type delivery inside their forward 50 because they haven't got the big power forward. Then you've got the shotgun attack of Dangerfield Selwood getting the ball and just thrusting it forward, getting it forward to Tommy Hawkins, bringing it to ground.
Hawthorn looked great by footers, but Geelong looked iffy in defence. I thought too many times Tom Lonigan wanted to kick the ball. Too many times Tom Lonigan wanted to go back inside, and that's not
true,
the kick that he should
I tell
be
you
making.
What, though, he was important. He took three or four really strong marks late in the game.
That's okay. Yeah. Take the mark, Tom.
But we thought that before the game. I thought that those taller defenders, and they've been great defenders for the Cats for a long time, they just don't match up well on those smaller Hawthorn forwards. Well, I mean, Enright, you know, Poppy, Rioli, Bruce, these guys, and Gunston, you put in the same category. Hard to match up on when you're an intercept marker because I thought Taylor was a bit off last night. If anything, all of the Hawks' guns, and I mean gun decision makers and gun users and leaders, all were at their top. And I reckon Geelong's, other than Selwood, Dangerfield was, you know, he had a lot of the ball, but I don't think it was his best game.
They've given him best on ground on the paper. That's a joke.
Who gave that?
Well, I don't know. But
anyway, with Corey Enright, you ask anyone at Geelong, he has held that back line together. Now, he's 34 going on 35. And look, he played okay, and I get your point. I think Geelong is still gettable down the back line. If you've got that... You know, I know Roughhead's not there, but if they had a big tall, they'd be still hard to beat. They're still in this race up to their ears. I think Clarko was great. I think Clarko was great. Clarko was pretty on the front foot after the game. He's looking forward to the Bullies game already.
Do we think it's the dominant form line out of the qualifying finals, or are we going to see that this afternoon, GWS versus Sydney?
We need to see that first.
But what you saw last night, do you think it's going to be enough? What they produced last night, is that grand final winning worthy?
Oh, yeah, I think either of those sides could still win it. Absolutely, obviously.
Speaking of the distribution out of halfback bristle, that has been for 10 years how Geelong have rolled. Though your heart's in your mouth when they deliver it out of halfback.
Absolutely,
like, Ruggles and these blokes.
I was just going to say Ruggles. Oh, gee, holding the breath.
You don't mind the footy in his hands.
St.
What's he say? What's
ST?
What's that mean?
Struggles.
One of those
you
ones.
Gave him, you said that during
it's
the
one
year
of those ones, Bristle, where I'd get the feeling with Chris Scott, that chaos, he almost doesn't seem to mind it. Otherwise, he would have got rid of it. And it's still there. You know, you just don't know what they're going to do just, you know, coming out of that part of the ground. Fascinating game of footy.
And that's because their kickers aren't as high quality as what Hawthorn are.
We are having a look at last night's pulsating qualifying final. A kick after the siren, wide right to use the NFL terminology, and the Cats are through to a home prelim final at the MCG, and all of that sits perfectly with this man who's come from Adelaide to Geelong. He's going to win the Brownlow by that far. It doesn't matter. He had 35 last night. He's ticking every box, fair to say, and he joins us now. Danger, welcome.
G'day, JB. G'day, boys.
Well done last night, mate. You just got to win those games, and you managed to do it.
Yeah, it was certainly hard in your throat type atmosphere in that last minute of the game, but thankfully that kick was just off the instep.
Hey, tell us, where were you when he took the kick, and did you know straight away it was missing?
I was at the top of the 50, and I was just watching our Geelong players behind the mark. And then Harry Taylor took off like Usain Bolt in 100. And he was uncatchable and he was ecstatic. And I thought, well, he's missed it.
Danger, well done. An outstanding game yourself and a great spectacle, both teams. You must be wrapped this morning waking up. The decision to go to Geelong, you've had an unbelievable year. You've won the first qualifying final. You've got 2 weeks off. You've got a prelim final at home. You're going to do a little bit of surfing down there at Moggs Creek. You think, gee, you're just ticking every box at the moment.
Yeah, look. Firstly, Spud, commiserations on the emoji that you don't have in the players app.
Yes.
We'll get on with that after, Danger.
Oh boy, you've hit a bloody point of conversation there.
it's certainly been a really enjoyable year. And to be a part of a footy club with wonderful history and both these sides with an incredible rivalry that stretches back, decades. It's very special to be a part of, and I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Hey, Danger, take us through the last 44 seconds or so when Hawthorn have the kick out. Where are you on the ground? And you're reading the play all the time because you're watching the footy and you can see that they've got space and they get it out of the wing. Where are you running to and what's going through your mind?
Yeah, so when they had that kick in, we were trying to push numbers as far into the centre corridor as we could, but because it had moved so quickly, it was really quite hard to do. So I was actually trying to smother Jordan Lewis's inside out barrel, but happened to land in the hands of Sean Burgoyne. So after that, I was running back to goal as quickly as we could, and Hawthorn players were doing the same thing, and then we were just trying to create a stop play where perhaps Hawks could lose possession of the ball, but unfortunately that didn't come to fruition, but luckily the set shot missed.
I'm not sure whether you were listening in about 20 minutes ago, but Damo and I had a little debate about Stevie Motlop. Clearly he had a couple of shots, obviously, in that quarter. What is the instruction in that situation? Clearly he's on the boundary. We know deliberate out of bounds is a lot tighter now, but if he had his time again, what would you be instructing him to do there?
It's a really difficult one, Duck, because, ideally we take it over the boundary line and then we keep the ball in our forward half the next minute of play. But that can be easier said than done. And if it was just for... would be just a point ahead. So if Hawthorn did get it down their end, then the chances are, if it wasn't a goal, the game would have ended in a draw. So, ideally, we force a boundary throw-in rather than give possession back, but I tell you what, it was a handy point.
What was being said out there last night, Paddy, without divulging everything that may have been exchanged, but it was old-fashioned, wasn't it? It was warrior versus warrior. It was Hodge and another Selwood involved in it last night. How willing was it? Was it amongst the most willing games you've played?
Yeah, it certainly was, and you wouldn't read about it. There was pushing and shoving, and there were two Selwoods on one side and Hodges and Mitchell on the other. So I think it's just part of their DNA, and they were certainly up for the fight, as were we. And both the two Selwoods are absolute warriors, as you described it. It was a great battle. It was certainly fierce. It was very... there was a huge amount of contact, and it wasn't pretty at times, but... have to win ugly in finals, and we're able to do that.
And just the acquisition of Scott Selwood, it took him a long time to get into the team, and yet the small amount of matches he's played, he's been good in, seemed to have the specific role last night on Mitchell. Is that the key, in your eyes, now you've played against him for two different clubs over a long period of time, is that the key to defeating Hawthorn?
Look, I don't think so. I think Hawthorn have been a really successful side for a long period of time because they have such an even spread. Obviously, Sam's an integral part of their team and a really important part, and we obviously identified that before the game. But it would be naive to think that stopping Sam Mitchell is the only way of beating Hawthorn because they have so many avenues to go towards goal and so many wonderful players.
So, Danger, this final series, we're heading into uncharted territory, really. You've had a break. You've had a week off just a week ago. You win now. You're going to have another week off. Now, normally we'd have some idea of what you guys are going to do in that week off, but it changes because of the extra week off. What's the program for you guys in light of knowing that?
It does, Brian. It does. We'll spend a bit of time down at Deakin Reserve, our alternate training venue that's the same dimensions as the G. So we'll continue to train there to, I suppose, acclimatise ourselves to the dimensions because it is quite different to Skilled Stadium, Simmons Stadium, rather. So we'll have a training session on Saturday replacing the game that we would have otherwise had. And then a really solid session a couple of days before that on the Thursday, and then go into the following week as normal as possible.
Paddy, there's great matchups all around the midfield, but one matchup I was really keen looking at was Frawley versus Hawkins. And Tommy Hawkins, he didn't dominate, but the amount of times they got score involvements off him, I think 11 score involvements for his 14 touches. So his ability to use his body in big games was outstanding last night.
Yeah, it was. He's an integral player for us. And as you said, he creates a contest against 1v2, 1v3 for four quarters straight. And I think out of those 14 possessions, I think 12 were contested. So he never has much room to move the big fella, but he certainly stands up when it counts. And we needed him last night, and he certainly delivered.
Danger. I'm a Port Ferry operator as a rule. I haven't done lawn very often, but last weekend I got in the car and drove down there. Beautiful part of the world, by the way. But I couldn't believe how far down that road Moggs Creek is. It's bloody miles away. And also, there's nothing there. When you're home, what the hell are you doing, please?
Well, there is a picturesque beach out the front, JB.
There's only so much surfing you can do, Danger. You've got to have something else in your life, surely, to cross.
Well, it's pretty important surfing. It actually took me 2.5 hours to get to the ground last night. It was bloody busy on the way in and then an hour and a half to get back. But there's surfing, there's fishing, and I think we've got quite a few surfers in Geelong this year. There's quite a few that have taken it up, so there's a few lattes involved as well, JB.
You've got to have, I think Frankie Costa or someone's organised you a little pad in Geelong and probably one in Melbourne as well, because you can't be returning there every night.
Look, I'm working on it. I'll have to catch up with Frank at some stage over the off-season.
I reckon the way you're going, you'll get a nice reception when you walk into Frank's office. I think he'll look right after you.
Just keep under the salary cap, Paddy.
Danger, just a quick one with the emojis, mate. I must admit, I was a little bit surprised with Warrior, the purple, being one of the emojis. Obviously, 40 AFL stars and Warriors tipped in as well.
Well, quite interesting, isn't it, Spud? Because I think the AFL Players Association have been behind this. And, well, let's be brutally honest about it. Damo's destroyed plenty of careers, so quite interesting.
It's a good concept, but I'm not quite sure they hit the mark with Warrior.
So you got it. What happens, Danger? You got to get to the App Store, yeah, to get your favourite player.
Yep, exactly. The App Store or the Google Play App Store. So there's more than 40 players, women and men. And obviously, the Warriors in there as well. So certainly worth purchasing, JB. And there's nothing like responding with the Warrior.
Hey, great chatting to you, mate. You've had an amazing season. Ripper game last night. Good luck with the break and then a massive prelim at home.
Thanks, boys. Always fun to be on.
Danger.
What about the season he's put together?
It's just, as I said, he must wake up this morning. He's ticked every box imaginable.
That's amazing.
The only thing he probably won't, well, he'll probably do it, get to the grand final and win the Norm Smith.
Yeah. That would be cap off the perfect season.
Perfect season.
Yeah, 2.5 hours in a car, though, Jim. It's a long time before a game.
I know this is your part of the world.
It's not hurting you.
Drifted quietly into lawn and was told about Brian by everyone
I think might have been having a bit of a tickle on the way, JB, because I would have thought it's an easy drive.
No.
Providing you concentrate and you just get there. Because Moggs Creek's only, it's between Anglesey and Lawn. It's not that far.
Bloody miles.
I would have thought leaving the Rub at 2 o'clock last week, you'd have plenty of time to get down there.
No, I was a Friday night driver down there, so it was a bit dark when I went through. But
we set the dogs onto you last week.
I know that.
We were looking
for anyone find you?
There were Nipsies coming up to me left, right, and centre saying, I've been told to hunt you down. But I couldn't believe, Duck, just how big a presence Brian is in Lawn. Everywhere I turned, blokes were telling me about Brian down here. This is what he does, and this is what you're not allowed to do. And
he's a big paddleboarder.
Got his own lounge arrangement on the beach.
Apparently.
It's the cafe to set it up for him.
Apparently. And his own spot.
His own chairs and table. And Esky.
His own spot in restaurants. I left with no doubt.
We have a rule. We have this little spot on the beach where we sit on the grass.
We know where it is.
But the rule is we've got five chairs lined up.
Robbo?
A lot of people walk past, but they walk behind the chairs. Yeah. If someone comes past... I'm not sure whether I should be saying
that.
If someone walks past and you want to say hello to them, but you think they're not worthy of being introduced to the five in the seats, you are to get up and talk to them behind the seats. If you think they are worthy, you can invite them in front of the seats. And if you think they are really worth talking to, that is, we can get something out of them, sit them down.
That's the rule.
Who's the five? Like a dag on a sheep's bum down there?
Who's the five? You, Tanya?
Mickey Roberts, Mick Turner, Steve Perry, myself.
Oh, guys only.
Well, the girls are there, but they're sort of.
Where are they?
Otherwise occupied.
I'm telling you, Purple, everywhere I went, the fingers of Bristle had been there and were just pointing out to me that this is how this town operates, and if you don't get in line with it, you're not actually welcome.
Where'd you stay down there, JB?
I stayed in a beautiful beach house, actually, up in the sort of gum tree canopy. It was it is a magnificent part of the world. Yep. I wasn't aware of it, as I say, because I normally head further down the beach. It's beautiful. When Spud is this wound up, you've got to get it out of him early in the show, because otherwise he's not worth a pinch of you-know-what.
Otherwise he dribbles bits of it all over the...
That's exactly right. So we may as well let him go. Yeah. So, Spud, you've got, this is head wobble.
Yeah, Wobble Watch. There's been a lot of nominations throughout the year. Luke Darcy's leading the pack at the moment.
By a mile.
Incredibly. But there's a few just piling in leading up to the grand final. Page 13 today in the Herald Sun, article from Alice Costa. Now, I think she's the girl that does all the sort of what's going on in the world. The world of media. Can we edit that a little bit? But anyway, there's a photo of Craig Hutchison there. Now, I'm not going to talk about what it is, but the facts are they've put his loaf. Only his loaf. And I want you to get that on the Wolfpack. Have a look at it.
The V8 supercar driver.
He sat on a gas pipe, surely. Oh. Or he's been stung by 1,000 bees. No. You can't have a loaf or sucking 1,000 all-day suckers in his cheeks. His head's going to explode. So that's all I want to touch on.
What's it about?
Oh, it's about he's had a great week in the croc media world. They're just going to... We'll move on. Now, I just want to touch on...
Don't listen to Snorkel, by the way. If you want to say anything, say whatever you like, and tell him to bugger off.
Just want to focus on footy.
Yes.
Brendan Gale and Peggy, they were looking for something to hang their hat on. And I thought, gee, we're in a lot of trouble here. The only trouble is when Martin Hillgrove, is that his name?
Hiscock.
Whatever his name is.
Hillgrove.
When everyone thought this is going to happen, Richmond have had a bad year, but you know when it went... When he opened his gob.
Seriously.
Well,
I know Brian's wanting a piece of
Martin. I won't touch
on
your parade, but I'm leading into this emoji, which Paddy Dangerfield was talking about now. I'm led to believe you've got to actually get a tick off. So if you get your emoji like Danger
and
Franklin,
what is an emoji, by the way?
For the people that don't know, Spud, what are you talking about?
What are they?
I don't know what it is. It's just a thing you put on your phone, I think, an emoji, isn't it?
I don't know what it is.
Well, it's a cartoon character,
first of all. It's a cartoon character yourself, and you pay an actor $2, which is a really good value. You get all of the 40 best players in the AFL.
And it goes on the app.
Yeah, it goes on the app, but then... There's obviously Gerard Waitley, and the one that I couldn't believe Warriors on it. So it's like that show on 11:30 after hours, the steak knives. I think they sort of just thought...
So if you get Paddy Dangerfield, you get Damo free.
That's right, but you have to get ticked off on it. So you've actually been called by the management of this company to say, can they use your...
They've used my IP without my permission.
Warrior, we know you have to have said yes.
I did not know about it.
And I've blown this up for an A3, JB. And I'm sending this down to... Arden Street for Brad Scott. And I'm also sending this A3 down to Luke Beveridge from last year.
Yes.
They're going to use your scon as a dartboard, Warrior. And have a look at it.
Well,
you've got
Cameron.
Pig ears. You've got a pig nose. A purple suit I like. What about that? You've got bigger chompers than TJ. But you, look, the hair, you've lost more hair on the top knot than that, mate.
Have
you're
I?
Just, yeah, just about gone, mate. You're just about gone. Let it go. Cut it off. Juddy, it took Juddy 4 or 5 years to work out he's losing his feathers.
He got
if
in
you
early.
Have a look at it now, it's just sitting up there. Have a look at it. You are an absolute wanker warrior. Now, I've got some audio because I can't believe it. Our producer's apparently got something to do with this.
He's got sidetracked, that producer.
On the Dead Set Legends, have a listen to our producer this morning talking about Warney.
You've gone into business with Shane Keith Warne to do these. How did that come apart? And what's it like sitting with Warney in a business meeting?
He's a very, very classy businessman.
He is. Very switched on.
He is. People don't realise how good a businessman he actually is.
Is that our producer talking?
Talking. That's why I'm bringing it on, JB.
Who would ever give him access to a microphone so he can speak? And who would ever care about anything he says?
And why can't he talk that fluently to us?
They must have been struggling for content to put a skinny bag of pus with a big nose on.
You gotta be joking.
But then, listen, there's more audio.
It's massive overseas. Hasn't been done here in Australia. And that's why... This is why we're here. It's safe to say my phone's blown up since this was launched yesterday.
Oh, I'm not going to swear. You are a flog, Luke. Absolute flog fest.
What's our producer doing talking on other shows anyway?
Mate, we're the number one rating thing on the Saturday Rub. All I hear is recruit this, recruit that. Yeah. Now it's this emoji app with Warrior on it. You've lost the plot, Luke, and you've said Warney's a good businessman. Well, I can tell you what, he's good at something else as well, the old Warnser. Now... This is the one now.
That's fallen down a long hole.
But anyway.
Where are you going with this? A superstar is what he is.
Yeah, he's...
No, we're not
Warney.
Sure
I
what
think
he's doing.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, I know Warney really well. But anyway, this article here now...
You sound a bit like...
There's an article in the Herald Sun, Brian. What page is it, Brian?
On the big man? 36. Centerfold.
Now, there's an article here in the Herald Sun. It's a double page, and John Anderson did the article, so I'm just going to sort of reenact how this article come about. You there, Jared?
Yeah, who is it?
It's John Anderson.
Oh, Ando, how are you going? What do you want?
I want to do an article on the finals.
Oh, that'd be great. Who?
I'm sure I'm that interesting.
Who? Danger? Franklin? Menzel? Who would you want?
Black coach? Caviar?
Yeah. Black Caviar. I love that. Let's do another article on that.
Ando, now I want to do an article on you.
Who, me? Why not? Stuff the players, coaches, administrators. It is all about me. And as long as it's a double-page spread and get the look at me with all my family there and me doing this shot and the Herald Sun and I was a cadet here and a cadet there.
In fact, I demand a double-page spread. And in fact, it's any less than a double and I won't do it, John.
So I've read a couple of articles, Brian. I just want you to read one paragraph, please.
Yes, one paragraph. This is Drew Moore for you.
Drew.
Well, first of all, he talks about the absolute best thing I've ever done is interviewing Steven Spielberg. He goes on to say, I include in that Jack Nicholson, Morgan Freeman, Cindy Crawford, Kevin Spacey, Gwyneth Paltrow. What is he on about? And then Drew Morfitt says, of Jared Waitley, as a caller, I personally don't think he's the greatest of all time. His style of calling a close game of football or a horse race is to scream as loudly as he can. Gee, I thought I'd do that. He loses clarity. You have to broadcast in gears, says Drew, and he's not good at that.
Well, Jared, you've actually beaten Dermot, mate. The amount of eyes in that article, it's Dermot had 68 eyes. And me, you've now got 70, mate. You have lost the plot,
what
Jared.
About this? They ask him about working for Channel 7. And Jared says, they haven't asked me yet, but I would like to do it if the opportunity came about.
Now, look, we
all... How do Fox feel about that?
Now, I know how they feel about it. We all get asked to do double spread, but, you know, that was when you're a player or a coach. Now that we're in the media now, you say, look,
you jump at it, Spuddy. Someone asked you. In fact, you did it just recently.
Spud
would turn up on his scooter.
You did it just recently about Marabin
last
week.
Last week,
you did the same thing.
The reason I'm saying
is it true that you've been told to get out of the background of all press conferences at St Kilda now because you're so desperate to get on?
You're just jealous of Jared having a double play spread.
The reason I don't do things like that, because that is all about
Me. It's like, come here. Here it comes down the house. 1.5 head. It's all about me. Buckley Hammerhead won 25 races.
Bud.
I'm doing a book on Black Caviar.
The reason why, because when I would do it or you would cop a lot of crap from your mates. The reason why these guys do it, they've got no mates.
Oh, Spud.
No one's going to have a go at them. Great article, Jerb.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Spud.
To see me look now with the Herald Sun when I was a cadet in 1983, Spud. That was one of my great shots. On my left side's the best.
This is one of the great acts of hypocrisy from you.
No, it's not.
Because a week ago, you did the same thing.
That.
And you were spewing that it wasn't a double pager. You only got a little sort of...
Mate, I forget what I said 3 seconds ago, let alone last week.
You were talking about the mud at Moorabbin and boring
Spud
the crap out of us.
So. Spud got a long column.
All it is at the moment, grand final day, 12:30 p.m. before Spud. The big game of the grand final. Neck and neck, we've got Darcy, we've got Jared Wheatley.
I'm with Damo.
I don't know who's going to win, but that's right up there at the moment.
I'm with Damo. You, if the opportunity came for you to do that, you would jump at that quickly. It wouldn't matter.
Just that no one would care.
No, exactly right. No one cares about your emoji, old snake knives. It's Warrior for the head wobble, Luke Darcy or Jared Whateley now. It is a bob of the head.
Really?
Bob of the head at the moment.
All right.
I'm out.
You're not out, mate.
We need to get to
Darcy's
a break.
Got me covered.
We've got the Chronicles of
it's
Cool
all about
Breeze.
Me. Yeah, see me. My kids are there. I was a cadet there. I'm getting photo here. I'm getting more plugs in my hair. Oh, yeah, I'm getting my hair touched up. I'm bald.
A week after his own article, he's now potting someone else for doing the exact same thing.
Before you go any further, the focus on Footy Group, Damo, where's that at the moment?
Oh, I think they're second-guessing themselves, BT. It didn't have any impact whatsoever to the point where even Peggy O'Neill has refused, as far as we know, as of yesterday anyway, to even contemplate calling them and returning calls. And the onus is now back on them. Do they want to call for this extraordinary general meeting, which will just create anger and angst? They only need 100 signatures under the constitution of that club to do so. So they've got every right to do it, but they're not at all going to be successful.
I didn't agree with the full board challenge, but I do agree with the fact that a couple on the Richmond board who have been there a long time could have been handpicked to jump off and let a few of those on. That would have been the ideal situation for me. Is that possible?
Lost me when he said he was going to talk to the coach about how to
about
their
tackling
playing
a bit more.
Style.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, let's just remind ourselves of how disorganised this mob are. And firstly, this is Martin Hiscock, who is the head of the whole situation in regard to Damien Hardwick and whether they want him.
You're guaranteeing that Damien Hardwick will see out the 2 years of his contract if you do, in fact, win the position?
No, not at all. If we don't perform well next year and we're looking at bottom four finish, then Damien will go. It's a 2-year contract. We didn't put it there. It was unanimously put there by the board.
So Martin says Damien will go. Bruce Monteith on the same card says...
We're going to give Damien the chance to work with us for 12 months, the new CEO of football, and then we see where it goes. But no jobs are guaranteed past 2017.
You're the football bloke in mind. What do you think has been the problem in this era? Has it been the recruiting? Have you got the wrong people? Have it been bad coaching or bad development?
You could answer that it's a bit of everything. I just don't think we've got enough good players. I just don't think we've got enough good players. We're not deep enough. When we play really well, we can take it up to the good sides, but we don't go very deep. And the fact that we don't go very deep always has to get back to recruiting.
So what is the problem? Yeah. Brian Wood, he was just confused.
Well, we can't understand his game plan.
How could Damien be the right man in that case?
I agree with the question, but we didn't extend his contract in March.
So, Brian, are you saying the only reason you'd keep him on is because you don't want to pay him out?
I'm saying that he will be there for at least for 2017, at least.
Thank goodness for that. And then Hiscock's come back on, and he had a bit of a gobbledygook, and then he finishes off by an extraordinary announcement on Neil Baum.
The CEO of football is a necessary position for a club that needs to intensify its focus on football. This position, we believe, is an industry first. For this role, we will be talking to the best in the business. Richmond Premiership player, life member, previous AFL coach, and now leading football director, Neil Baum.
Well, they didn't quite have Neil in the bucket because Hiscox later that night had to say this.
You threw Neil Balm's name into the equation today, but then you said that you hadn't spoken to him. So what makes you think that you'll be able to gain his services?
I think we will, because I think he's probably disgruntled after what happened at Collingwood. He's always wanted to come back to Tigerland, and I think the timing is absolutely perfect.
Have you spoken to him at any stage today after the announcement this morning?
No.
So he was announced as the CEO of footy, but they haven't actually spoken to him. This group is all over the place, Damo.
They are indeed, Brian, and that's a very nice little package of events as they unfolded.
And summing up all that, JB, I'm happy for any challenges, but I reckon when a board's done a good job, you say they've done a good job, and I reckon principally Brendan Gale, as the CEO of that club, and the board have implemented all of the strategies. They just haven't got the main part right, and that is footy. So, okay, then, I say, if there's a board member or two that's been on there a bit long, maybe just hand-pick one or two, and you don't need to upset the whole balance of what's going on, I reckon.
Yeah, well, they seem to, Damo, you're much better in this space than any of us. It seems to have died a very swift and natural death, this whole thing.
Pretty much. And I can't see any point in going down the extraordinary general meeting path, because I think there's enough anger that the actual challenges would be thrown out very, very quickly.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, that's expensive, by the way.
Just moving on quickly, I want to get your thoughts, Duck and Spud particularly, both being former great players, of course. Grand final last year. Jack Darling had a bit of a question mark moment.
Has had no effect on the game. Josh Kennedy, the Coleman medal winner. Now the Eagles, though, good pressure.
Darling.
They get it back to Sheed. Oh. Darling out the back. He's turned straight inside out. Jack Darling.
He has dropped
an absolute put. And Stratton can't believe his luck.
The reason he dropped it is he saw someone coming at him. And then on Thursday night, Jack Darling, and this happened.
Clearing kick, a little bit of luck there, picked up by McGovern, squared it off to Gaff. Gaff's kick got to be precise. Darling had a little bo peep. Darling had a big, big bo peep there. Dunkley was coming at him. That's very embarrassing in a final.
Now,
Miss him, BT.
Well, just called it as we see it, as we always do on Triple M Football. What's in store for Jack Darling? How does he recover from this on the stage of two huge finals?
Well, one thing, BT, I think you can safely say we've all had moments on the footy field we'd like to, you know, we could have gone harder or been better.
No, we haven't all had moments like that, I don't
know. No, well, what I'm saying is what you've got to be worried about. I remember the grand final. I'm not sure he jumped out of the boat in last year's grand final.
No, he just dropped the mark.
I think he just dropped the mark.
The moment got to him. Yeah.
And I haven't seen the vision, but clearly by your commentary there, it was obvious what occurred. If you're a repeat offender, then it becomes a real issue. Now, I would say, like I said, I think everyone's done it at some point in time. So it's what you do from here on in. Now, clearly that will get pointed out, and I'm sure the coach and the players don't necessarily talk to you about that stuff, but Adam Simpson will sit him down and say, listen, you've got to get that out of your game.
And he took him straight off and got him on the phone.
Doc. Okay, so it's what he does from here on in. And Spud, I'm sure you'll agree, because you know if he does it again and again, and look, there was a lot of criticism about Jack Watts, I reckon, a year or so ago. He had a couple of moments, Jack, and I love Jack. I've been a big supporter. The way he's bounced back this year, and the way he's gone about it, is exactly how you'd want to go about it. So can you rebound from it? Absolutely, you can.
I think he can. I think that's makes our game so great. I think the missed shot at goal last night, for example, Isaac Smith, that'll be forgotten about very, very quickly. But when you actually don't, you put in a couple of short steps that Jack did on Thursday night, they tend to linger around, Duck, and they don't end up in goals, but it's just probably the fact is that they're warriors out there, and he hasn't put his best foot forward on those couple of occasions. Yeah, he's a good player. I think he's got 6 months now to... I don't think the coach will sit him down, Duck. I agree with that. But he'll know. He would have known 2 seconds after it happened.
That's right.
What he needs to do.
Well, he would have got told by Bulldog.
I think he's a proud lad. He'll bounce back.
It's also heightened, I reckon, a little bit if you're a big bloke.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can have your small forwards and you sort of go, well, yeah, maybe he doesn't go as hard as he should, but, you know, his role is, you know, to get to the feet or whatever. But when you're a big, strong, power forward, which is what Jack is, that causes the focus to intensify on him more than it would on a smaller type player.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just how we assess footy.
And it's magnified so much now. I mean, you know, I'm talking early, you know, mid-90s, late-90s, Spud. There were two or three guys in every team that had those moments every week, but it just not magnified as much. And I'd say now that the AFL player is more courageous than ever. You'd very rarely get moments like that. And that's why They don't repeat. That's why they don't continually repeat it, because they understand the how much it is magnified.
Yeah. And with sorry, JB.
The other thing about it is that the reality of the situation, Duck, and I've heard you speak publicly on this, is unless you're Glenn Archer, Gavin Brown, Lee Colbert, there probably have been other examples. They might be the only blokes alive that have never crapped themselves on a footy field.
Well, you talk to Glenn Archer about it, and Glenn Archer will say he has crapped himself
on a footy
field.
I don't remember ever seeing one, but he says he does.
What the difference is having those thoughts, knowing you're going to get hurt, but still going for the footy with your head
up. And so in the game I played, you know, Greg Blewett was about the only bloke I've ever known who actually enjoyed facing 150k an hour plus bowling. The rest of us crapped ourselves because it's terrifying, Duck.
Exactly right.
It's no fun. You know, we're not hanging this bloke. Everyone who's played sport knows that you're put in a situation where it's often very, very intimidating.
Yep. Jim, I find often it very uncomfortable, and I'm part of it. I'm not washing hands of it, but I feel really sorry for the individual in Jack Darling's case on this occasion, because I think there's as much at fault of a player, Jim, who can't actually deliver the pass to his teammate when there's no reason not to. I reckon that's a bigger impact on a game of footy than a player not pulling out. Because going for the contest, you invariably don't get the ball anyway. All you do is expose yourself to an injury that otherwise you wouldn't be exposed to. And I think the scrutiny of it, and again, I'm not washing hands of it, I'm part of it, but I actually feel sorry for Jack Darling now, because he's got a whole pre-season to deal with this, and his future at West Coast is going to be questioned back of, well, it will be.
Well, it's questioned as far as that. Traditionally, Warrior, and I disagree, traditionally in the big stage, you just can't afford to do that. It's as simple as that, and he's got to cop that. He'll get over it. I think and the biggest story is Adam Simpson and the fragility of the players.
I think
their last two finals meant fragilely mental.
Just before I go, I just want to ask, you know, there's been full-page ads in the paper, Jonathan Brown and Dermot Brereton about finals and Fox footy and all that sort of stuff. Fair enough. They're great finals players. But the photos they've used of them actually on the grand final day, I'm told, have been selected by, not the management, but the people themselves.
What do you mean?
So Jonathan Brown has got out of his own photo file.
And the chief.
Yes, and the chief. And Dermy have gone to their own photo, their scrapbook, and said, I'll have that one in the ad. That's what I'm told. I don't know whether it's true or
JB,
not.
JB, the head bottler of the year, as we know, announced grand final day. This final series, I thought it was about the players and the coaches.
Well, we're going to get to that. I know you've got something you want to do, but I'll tell you right now. before you leave, we need to attend to business.
In 2009... The Saturday Rub brought you the iconic
World According to the Cool Breeze.
And now, it brings you
Cool Breeze Chronicles.
How hard did you squeeze them to get that sort of low voice out, Warrior?
I think you had them.
Thank goodness you got that intro, because the rest of the crap you deliver is just absolute nonsense.
It's about your life, BT. And what we do now is we're moving on to the 1987 season. You're off the high of the Coleman Medal and the 100 goals the previous year, where it was all about me. And you're back to your old ways, BT, it's fair to say. Your career's starting to end the way it began with a feat of anger.
So he reached
anger.
The mountain and now
he's on the downhill.
Got the Coleman medal.
Been up there a while.
Been up there a while. So we get to a game against Melbourne, and here we go again. You're reported by three umpires for, quote, a string of fiery incidents. And I go to the match report at the time. Taylor, unsighted in the first three quarters, had just marked and seemed destined to boot a goal when he swung around and clashed with Danny Hughes. It was the eighth time the two had clashed that quarter. Taylor had blood streaming from his face after a clash with Hughes and Grinter. So you go to the tribunal, BT, and this is what I love in your defence. You actually represented yourself, and you provided this, and this is a quote, and we'll put it up on the social media platforms of Triple M Footy soon. I just took a wild swing to break the tackle, and I happened to make contact with Hughes' face. I must point out that at no stage did I look at Hughes and aim specifically for his head. Unfortunately, though, I contacted with his head. and then you do suck it up, BT. You're complaining in this tribunal hearing about, I cop it every week. Everyone comes at me.
That's right.
And it was your fourth suspension. That's you copped a suspension. And the previous record came out in the tribunal. You'd been suspended, as we have discovered in the Cool Breeze Chronicles.
Yes.
that you were suspended for insulting gesture to an umpire. Mm. You're suspended for disputing an umpire's decision, wasting time and unduly
basically
rough
a clean,
play.
Clean skin I was.
The same season, there's also a reference to where you kicked Collingwood's only two goals in a game against Collingwood. Goals, 6-8.
And
then against North Melbourne.
Against
North Melbourne, 10-12-72 to 2-6-18. And once again, you make it about yourself when you're interviewed post-game.
It was.
It is the first time I've ever been my team's only goal kicker.
In other words, in Mickey Martin style, I did my job.
And we'll finish the Cool Breeze Chronicles of today with a quite explosive article, Jim, written by, in a first-person way, by Ray Slug Jordan, who I think...
Great man.
Was it Sunday Press or Sunday...
Sunday Press.
Sunday Press. So, back page story, written by Ray Slug Jordan, opening line, Lee Matthews... You need to sack Brian Taylor. he said that you have become what's known as the Taylor crisis. Oh. He said that you remind him of Mark Jackson. Ron Barassi had done to Mark Jackson. And Taylor's behaviour yesterday follows several recent outbursts similar in nature. I understand he hurled a clipboard onto the ground after being pulled off the ground by Lee Matthews 2 weeks ago. In yesterday's game, Lee, you dragged Taylor because of he was too busy scuffling with his St Kilda opponent, Mark Gamble. So busy was he scuffling with Mark Gamble, he failed to watch the ball come downfield. It bounced off Taylor's head.
That is true.
He's a Supreme Court judge now, Mark Gamble. Wow.
And Lee, this is Ray Slug Jordan's own piece. Lee, you question the forward's lifestyle away from his football commitments.
Oh, family,
it's time you tell Brian to... ship out.
I do remember when he took me off for that particular incident. I got to the bench. Eddie Hillgrove, our team manager, is standing there with a little magnetic board with all the players on it. I got it and I absolutely boomeranged it as far as I could to the middle of the ground. Magnets went flying everywhere. For the next 10 minutes, Eddie Hillgrove's crawling around on his hands and knees looking for all the magnets.
Actually, Darryl Baldock, that particular game, I do remember it, BT. He said... Brian's on the way down. You normally get him, but we're going to put young Mark Gamble on him. I said, no worries. I'll go on Stasevic. So even the old doc thought you were on a slippery slide there, Brian.
Spud just building himself into the story. Oh, boy. And not only building himself into the story, putting himself on the athletic Craig Stasevic.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Spud, did I say that?
Mark Gamble's on your BT.
That's it. And Slug Jordan, Gamble, of course, great North Melbourne
cup,
heritage.
And a Teal Cup coach.
A legendary coach, Slug.
He was, the late Slug Jordan.
Your career's starting to spiral out of control again, BT.
I love it. I love the Chronicles. They're beautiful.
That's great. I'm learning something about you every week in here.
Why, weren't you old enough to see me, Duck?
Well, in Wagga, we didn't get... We just got match of the round.
Just quickly, I know we got Stewie June not far away, but I want to talk about the Western Bulldogs, Bud. Yep. Unbelievable Thursday night they were to go to the West Coast Eagles' home ground at Subiaco Oval and win the way they did. Great credit to them as a club.
They were as clean in a contest I've seen for a long time. And what I mean by that, Duck, is that the amount of times they're under pressure with their hands, they had someone left or right, and the amount of times the West Coast fumbled. So the pressure they put on West Coast, but how clean they were under pressure. And look, Luke Beveridge, you got to thank them. I think the week of the bye did them extremely well. They brought five players in. They wouldn't have played three of those, apparently, if there wasn't a bye. So they've been able to get nearly their best team on the park other than long-term injuries. I just thought it was one of the great coaching efforts. And they were terrific. I think the fact that... their back line were great, Easton Wood. Their midfield were just as clean and as crisp as I've seen them this year.
But surely that didn't surprise you. That's how they've played all year. I've said all year that I reckon they have got the best hands in the comp, in and around the footy. They're clean, as you said, they're quick hands, and they give it to a player. So many other teams, those forward handballs, they give it to a player under more pressure than what they're under. They give it to the right option, and then when they get on the outside, they can... And what I thought... It was a tweak. They took the game on. They tried to score a little bit more. Clearly, it was a great defensive effort. But, you talk about Dalhouse. I've said all year, most underrated player in the competition.
Yeah, he shows Daniel. 7 weeks.
Caleb Daniel was absolutely brilliant. I mean, they are just a good football team. They don't rely on any one player. They didn't have a dominant. I mean, Jakey Stringer didn't have an impact at all. So you know they've got so much upside, and they've got so many of these players. Imagine if they had their full complement of players to pick from. We'd be sitting here saying they're premiership favourites.
Yeah, what they are, Duck, as you said, those two players in particular, Dalhouse and Caleb Daniel. Throw in Lockie Hunter. Those three guys in particular, they're great little footballers and very smart.
Footy
and quick,
brains.
They're quick thinkers and footy they're brains. Clean. So those three guys, I don't think there's three other players in the competition together who are so clean and cheeky. And what I mean by that is they get it and then bang, it's gone.
Would you agree that 5 years ago, about right, I reckon, 5 years ago that we'd be sitting there and guys like Dalhouse and Caleb Daniel and all these guys wouldn't be getting a game because we went down that athletic part.
Yeah.
Now we've gone back to the, if you've got a footy brain, doesn't matter how tall you are, doesn't matter how quick you are, doesn't matter how high you can jump, but if you make good decisions and your efficiency and you use the ball really well, then you can be an absolute star in this comp. And that's exactly what the Bulldogs, they've got a lot of those. And that's why Hawthorn is still at the top of their tree. They might have older players, but they're still great ball users and great footy brains.
We now know one of the semi-finals next week, most likely Friday night, Hawthorn versus Western Bulldogs. On what you've seen in the past 48 hours of football, Duck and Spud, who wins that game?
Well, they're a massive chance. I remember back, I think it was a Friday night game where the Bulldogs and the Hawks played in that game. It was the game that Murphy did his knee and Sicily kicked the winning goal. The Bulldogs should have won that game. That was a game where they you know, one of those close ones that the Hawks pinched late in the game. So, you know, clearly they'll go into that game with a lot of confidence. And you know what? It's a 50-50 game. It really is.
Just getting back to the game on Thursday night, and this where coaching has a really big impact on a game of footy, was the amount of times that their forward line, we know they haven't got one big power forward, but the amount of times, and JB, we were texting a bit, that McGovern and Barass and Hearn and...
Was JB texting you back or were you just...
No, we had a little bit of a... We're just talking about the game. But the amount of time the Bulldogs brought the ball to ground. So they didn't mark the ball, but McGovern and Barass and Hearn and Shepherd, who love sort of guarding their opponent so McGovern or Barass can come in and take that intercept mark, that's coaching because they brought the ball to the deck and allowed Dalhouse and Caleb Daniel, Lockie Hunter and these players to get to work. Tory Dixon. I thought that was really good coaching.
And Tom Boyd, I just want to say this about Tom. I know that, you know, he's been maligned because of his contract, but I've always thought that has been a strength of his from day one, even though, you know, he obviously hasn't been winning a stack of the footy, but I've always thought when I've watched him, even in the VFL, that when there's a crowd around him, he actually doesn't get outmarked.
Yep.
Very rarely gets outmarked. And the other thing, if you read the flight of the ball really well, and so you're in the right position, when you actually go for that mark or when you're competing for it, they don't get a big purchase on the footy. The footy generally drops within an area, and that's really easy to read for those smaller type forwards to then read off the pack. So Boyd played a big part in that win.
And Liberatore, you know, first game back for a while.
He is a gun, Duck.
And Easton Wood too, Spud, wasn't it? Same thing.
Tom Liberatore, I didn't realise... It's good to watch because he's tough. He's tough and he's clean and he kicks goals. He gets forward. Yeah. So that was a great game from him. I'm not sure. Was it 6 or 7 weeks before runs for Tom Liberatore?
Yeah, I think it was.
Back in a big final.
How
That's
mentally
great.
Tough are they? Like when you think about all of the heartache that they've gone through this year and you say, okay, he must be a psychologist, Beveridge, because
they're on the one
there's
page.
so many times that they could have just looked at one another and said, oh, how much bad luck are we having, getting down, feeling sorry for ourselves. Has not been any of that whatsoever in their play. They just, if you want to follow a football team, and you just want effort, you follow the Bulldogs.
I'll tell you, they must have changed slightly what they're doing too, I reckon, because earlier in the year, their contested ball was so high, Duck, because they had so many numbers at every stoppage that you're just going to, weighted numbers are going to win you the footy.
Yeah.
But then they were going forward to a horrible outnumber against and unable to score and all the rest of it. So they've obviously changed. Very hard to tell on the telly because you can't see forward of the ball. But when the ball went in on Thursday night, they were either even number or sometimes out number four. Yep. Which talks to work rate, obviously, but also Luke Beveridge must have changed something to get that, and it looks so much better.
And that's clearly what they thought they had to do against West Coast. But then to keep West Coast to that score as well on top of that, that's just desire.
Well,
that's wanting to do it for one another. I just love going to watch them play. And even though they're not kicking massive scores, or you know, and they are keeping
position. They're struggling to get
But okay, so in previous years when we've seen that, we go, oh, that's not good looking. But you watch the Bulldogs and that's happening, but it's still good to watch.
Yeah.
They're great to watch.
And look, that's said, the week of the bye, and there's been a late nomination for a bit of wobble from head office, apparently. The week of the bye, they're very happy with it, AFL land, the way that the ratings were last night, Luke Beveridge, and rightly so. They've copped a lot of criticism. The jury's still out, but after two games, the first week of the finals.
I reckon it's been a resounding success.
I think Gil's got a bit of
happiness.
Pep in his step.
Has he?
No, yeah, he's very happy.
Big tick, I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
Big tick.
He thinks he's slapped purple happy, around. That's what I know, he's pretty confident he's got purple slapped into a corner.
Yeah. He's very happy with himself, Jim. He isn't the best at times, but he's particularly happy.
Purple gave him eight of his best weeks, saying it's a disaster all in the lead up, and then suddenly the Witten game was huge. Ratings and the Chicks game was unbelievable.
Which it always is.
Thursday night was big and Friday night's big. And I think the old CEO slapped purple right up and down.
I've been told, Jim, he's actually trying to lay claim for the great game of last night because we haven't had a good Hawthorn Geelong game before, have we?
He's trying to claim some ground back purple.
Be careful, warrior.
I think he might have on points.
What?
Now, let's talk about West Coast for a sec because as good as Western Bulldogs were, Duck, the West Coast Eagles were. I mean, you don't like to use words like insipid, but I reckon Adam Simpson, who we both know is as honest a bloke as you'll ever meet, if you said that to him in a conversation, he couldn't argue.
Well, what happened, I think, for West Coast, clearly they were almost a form team the 3 weeks prior to the bye. Now, we talked about how much of an advantage for the Bulldogs. It came at a really bad time for West Coast because what West Coast did is they went back to the form 3 or 4 weeks prior to the bye. Because before that, that's the type of footy that they produced on Thursday night was the inconsistent footy that I reckon they produced for the majority of the year.
Yeah. So it was the game against Collingwood, wasn't it, in about round 19 when they lost.
And you know, you think about them falling over the line against Melbourne only about 5 weeks ago. They just beat Carlton at the MCG. Yep. So, you know, it was more around that form line than the GWS and Adelaide and those wins. So,
I've got to jump in because Stewie G's been good enough to jump on the line from the Stadium Australia in Sydney. Stewie, welcome to you, mate.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Now, big day, of course. This is a huge prize dangling in front of the two clubs. You win, you get a prelim final at the SCG, which is perfection from a Sydney Swans point of view.
Yeah, it's all there for us. Obviously, they're in the same boat, but we're pretty keen. We're really confident, but I just heard you guys talking about form. It means nothing come today, so unless you play two hours of consistent footy, job won't be done.
And they like coming up against you, GWS. Even sort of half publicly, they've said, you know, we always fancy ourselves against the Swans.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You always got to fancy yourselves, I guess. But we were really below our best last time we played. So we've got to feel that's irrelevant. We want to bring our best today and put them to the sword.
Hey, Stewie, internally, about halfway through the year, when clearly Buddy Franklin was having a good year, but I thought that, you know, he's such a big target, you go to him often, and then you've made the choice. Was that a conscious thing to say, you know what, we've got to start using the right option. We've got to get Buddy up the ground. Clearly, he's able to float forward, and he's kicked his bags since. But you're no longer reliant on him in that forward 50.
It's probably a fair assessment. It wasn't too big a deal, but we did know that we needed to edge that way. We didn't want to drastically change it because if you've got someone that can kick five or six, you certainly don't want to take that away from them. But we shouldn't be needing him to kick seven, eight, nine. So other guys have had to step up, but it's actually helped their development. Guys like Gary Rowan's added a bit more consistency to his game, and Isaac had a lull in the middle of the year, but he's come back really well. So we've got a good mix up there. We think it's potent, but just got to get it in there with a bit of class. But their defence is pretty rock solid, but we will back ourselves.
Talking about Heaney, clearly got dropped during the year. Spent a couple of weeks in the VFL, and then I believe a stern conversation from Horse about half time through his first game back, and since then he's been pretty good.
Yeah, one game. I think he had one touch at half time, so nice firm talking to, but he responds, and that's, you know, for a second year player, sometimes you don't want to go near that with the younger players because they can shut down. But he plays like a man and accepted that and went out and did something about it. So probably a mark of how competitive he is and a bit of pride in his performance. But you know, he was battling mid year with injury as well, so just those couple of weeks of less hits, less pressure on him, he's responded.
Hey, Stewie, I obviously was close at hand down at Blunston Arena watching the North Melbourne-Sydney game. And where we sit in that sort of corporate area is right behind the goals. You feel like you can almost touch the players. I was blown away, A, by how good live Callum Mills is in that defensive situation. But as much as that, mate, I was blown away by his voice and the command with which he was organising people in that back half. For a young kid in, you know, the embryonic stages of his career, it was so impressive.
Yeah, and we've known that for a year or so, even when he came out and trained every now and then as a reserves top-up. He's outstanding. He's a leader, born leader. He's not going to be able to teach him too much there because that's the way he goes about his footy. So we're not relying on him, but geez, a handy first-year player to come in there and try and lead the way. But he's such a good balance of offense, defense, and he's pretty keen to solidify his season in finals.
Yeah, he's a beauty, no doubting that, Dewey. And good luck today. You tend to learn more from your losses. Obviously, GWS got hold of you last time. What are a couple of things you need to do better but probably stifle GWS with?
Yeah, we gave him a little bit too much clean ball around the stoppage. I think it's we're on record as saying the mids got beaten. They went on their game early, and then from there we were chasing tail. We lost Kurt Tippett just before half time, which didn't help. But you know, whether we win the hitouts or not should be irrelevant with our midfield group, and they're really keen to make amends. But that's where the game, it always is. That's where the game's going to be won and lost. Which forward line gets the best supply? And if we don't win it, we need to pressure that ball to give our backs a chance.
Stu, I know the price at stake today is a week off and into a prelim final, but just your rival today, is it a real situation now where you hate them as much as you do any other club?
No, I think a lot of it, 99% of it comes from external. Certainly at the Sydney Footy Club, we go about our business. We know there's 17 other teams, and I've certainly been in an Adelaide town where it was Port and Adelaide, and a lot of people that get consumed down the road actually forget that there's other teams that can win the flag. So we don't treat them any different, but out here today, it's just another opportunity to get a home prelim, and we need to make amends after last time we played them.
You talked about, obviously, pressure through the midfield's a key, because you talk about the forward line. Are they a hard forward line to match up on? They're so different. They're very diverse. You got Lobb up there, who is a really strong mark. You got Parrott, Patton. You got Jeremy Cameron. You got Green, all Australian this year. And then you throw in Stevie J. It's a pretty good balance.
Yeah, when I spoke about the midfield pressure, I think it's their marking power, not just the tools. Obviously, Patton's been clunking him for a while now, and Jeremy Cameron can, but and Lobb also, but Lobb's even played up on the wing, you know, to go third man up a little bit lately. But you know, Toby Green's really good overhead, and we know Stevie J is, so Griffin can go down there and play deep. So it's, I think a lot of it's their marking power, so that's why it's so important that ball's not coming in lace out, because it's really hard to stop one-on-ones these days. You need to be able to get some help across.
Your defence is the number one ranked in the competition, Dewey. There's no doubting that. But you look at the names, they're great stories, aren't they? Rampy, All-Australian, Heath Grundy, Mills, through your academy, Nick Smith and Alia. A lot of these guys have come off the rookie list as well. So you got just about the best collection of six defenders in the comp, and they've come through it the hard way.
Yeah, they are great stories, and every club's got them, but we certainly got front rows to guys like Dane Rampy, who couldn't make it on the Bulldogs rookie list, you know, been able to persevere, and he almost gave up and come back to New South Wales, even knocked back some reserves games for us before we could get a look at him. But Heath Grundy, you know, he's drafted as a centre forward, so,
yep.
You know, and we, our opinion was he's really stiff to miss out on at least the squad of all Australian, but, you know, it is what it is, but certainly they're as good as the blokes next to him.
Hey, Dewey, I love the story with Nick Johnson running for the first time in a ridiculous amount of years, and so loved at the footy club. But my understanding was when he came out to do his first lot of running, it was a day off for the players, but about 20 of them turned up. Oh, sorry, Alex Johnson, got the name wrong. Yeah. About 20 players turned up. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, as you know, it is tough to get these boys in on their day off. So to get an audience was a fair effort for Alex, but probably a testament to how good a bloke he is and the journey he's going through. And you know, we've just got fingers crossed that he can play footy at some point. And we're confident. You know, he's had a few hiccups, but he's moving well. And if anyone can do it, it's him. He's a competitor. He's physical. And, takes a lot of heart out of what Menzel's doing as well.
Just a quick one, Dewey. I know you don't want to talk about the future, but there's a club up north looking for a coach. Are you ready to go?
No, I think I'm staying put for a little bit now. I think I've come out and said that I won't be I haven't been asked anyway, first of all. So I don't know if you do that. Do you come out and say you're not going when you haven't been asked anyway? But I did, just because I'm committed to Sydney. I'm really working on my own development, I guess, and enjoying my time. So I'm sure that they've got someone in mind anyway.
Good luck today, mate.
No worries, thank you.
Stewie Jew, a very impressive young assistant coach who's going to be involved at some stage, Purple.
No doubt.
In senior coaching ranks, it's only a matter of when.
Just got to pick the right time.
Well, he would have been at Melbourne, and that's taken nothing away from Goody, but the Sydney played hardball on that one. He would have been the Melbourne coach, so he's a coaching waiting, no doubt.
Bit of news, Purple?
Yeah, we'll start with North, Jim. Obviously, tonight's game against Adelaide, elimination final going in, massive underdogs. The four players who's already had decisions made about their futures, Brent Harvey, Michael Ferrito, Nick Del Santo and Drew Petrie. As we speak, two of the four are considering going on next year. It's only considerations. They're far from locked in, the two being Nick Del Santo and Brent Harvey. There is interest in both of the players, and they'll obviously get some clarity, Duck, beyond tonight's game. I still think it's unlikely that either would play on, but they just are allowing them, as far as I know, themselves, the right to not totally draw the line on it.
What are you hearing about Boomer? I'm hearing that there are strong people in and around the footy club that are suggesting firmly that he just stops playing, gives it away.
In terms of North Melbourne Footy Club?
No, in terms of
other
full
clubs.
Stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, look, he's reserved the right, as far as I know, to be the case. And he'll get clarity and he'll be able to make the decision once the season's finished. And the way he's approaching it, the season's alive as well. While it looks like it's going to be a loss to North tonight on the bookies charts, he will make that decision beyond then. There's another name, and Jim, we touched on it last night. We've asked you a few times now, the past 3, 4, 5, even 6 weeks, about Daniel Wells, free agent. North's got a 2-year offer in front of him. Clearly, it's not at the level that he wants it to be. I believe he's after a 3-year deal, and I even believe he's after more money than that is attached to the North offer to him for those 2 years. So, again, it's not panic stations yet, but it's probably no better than 50-50 that he stays at North. I know,
well,
I asked
you
this last night.
Pickers, yeah. I mean, he's his manager. I don't know where it sits with Liam or Daniel, other than I know that he's very much a required player. He's got a deal in front of him. I think the deal's pretty good. Whether he accepts it or not, I guess, is up to him and up to whatever the alternatives are. I mean, I would be very disappointed if he didn't stay because, A, I love him, and I love him as a person and as a footballer, but also I think, you know, the club's looked after him enormously in the last 3 years with all of the troubles that he's had. So I think, in a way of repaying them, you know, staying would be a good thing. But these are the modern times, Purple, and players, you know, stay and they go, and you don't really know the landscape until they make a decision either way. Is that enough on Wellesley?
On Wellesley,
yeah. I just wanted to say, Spud, because interesting the name I just called you. With everything that's gone on with those, you know, retiring or leaving players, nowhere near enough has been made of Spud Ferrito for mine. He's one of the great footy stories. Yeah. That bloke, a rookie. He's played 280 odd games. Yep. He has been an unbelievably good North Melbourne person. And I just think, me saying I'm proud of him, how sanctimonious does that sound? But I'm just so proud of what he's done as a North Melbourne footballer and person. And he will retire and be able to walk through but duck that footy club as proudly as any past player in the history of our joint. He's an absolute superstar, Spud. And I reckon he gets lost a bit with all the other players that are being spoken
about. No, I'm with you, JB. Doing a little bit on him on our show tomorrow night, actually, because he's a Gembrick boy. He comes from a potato-growing family.
Yep, does.
Come off the rookie list. Again, one of these players, Duck, you ever look at the amount of gun defenders have been rookies because they probably have a failed forward. They're not quite good enough. And then they fight tooth and nail to get on the list. And gee whiz, if there's ever been a player that's been got more out of himself than Spud Ferrito, I'd like to know who it is because absolutely outstanding. I thought he was done and dusted 2 years ago.
Well, I think he did too.
Even 3 or 4.
And let's hope. And that's why I think North are a sneaky chance tonight because you look at Petrie, you look at Boomer Harvey, but I reckon the players, if they just had a sneak over and look at Spud Ferrito and if they play what he gives, they're going to be into the game up to their ears, I reckon. And I reckon it's a little bit of thing it counts for nothing, but it counts for a lot in a whole range of things of just the desire, and we saw the Bulldogs do it on Thursday night. I think North are in this game up to their ears.
Yeah, I reckon there'll be a lot of forwards pretty happy that he's not going on because you're right, he's been down. And I remember when when Arch handed over the number 11 to him, and I agree. I think he's been a champion, gets thrown around far too easily, I think, but he's a champion of the North Melbourne Footy Club. There's no doubt about it, along with the other two. Dale Sanders, obviously a champion of St Kilda, and more recently of the Kangaroos. But I agree. I think he has been sort of pushed to the side a little bit.
Decisions to be made from an Adelaide perspective too, with David Noble heading up the footy operations there at the Crows. It's his job if he wants it effectively at the Brisbane Lions.
Head of footy.
And he will make his mind up once the Crows season does finish. And what is looming, guys, is the Chris Fagan element to the coaching vacancy. We've been asking Chief, haven't we, Jim Frogan, for 6 weeks about the possibilities around Chris Fagan. He's a very private person. He's not going to be telegraphing his motions and movements on this at all publicly. But if he wants it, nothing in life is as good as his if he wants it. But he will be on a very, very short list, Spud, is my read on this now. It's up to him. Greg Swan, I believe, has made that known to him, that if he wants to get involved, that he will be very, very seriously thought of in that position.
Well, I'm just reading between the lines with the Stuart Dew answer. He said he hasn't been given a phone call, and
he reckons that
he seems to be someone already on the list. I'm not Chris Fagan, but if I was Chris Fagan, I'm sitting here, I'm one out, one back, I'm in a really strong club. I wouldn't go through a process if I was Chris Fagan. I would say, you give me the job, I'll take it. Because why would I want to go through a process?
You don't have that luxury, though.
Well, it's happened in the past. Ken Hinckley got the job. Alan Richardson got it at St Kilda because they wanted him to go through a process. He said, no way. I'm not going through a process. I've been through three. I'm staying at Port. It forced St Kilda's hand to actually give him the job. They had to do an interview, of course, but then bang. I think this is very similar. I think that if Dave Noble, I'm led to believe, that's true, that he's going to be their warrior from the Adelaide Footy Club. If you get him and Chris Fagan, you've got two really good people. Forget whether they're footy people. They're good persons. Yeah. And they've got to be great communicators. And I think that's what they need up in Brisbane. And as I said, Chris Fagan's seen the whole lot. He's been a VFL coach at Melbourne. He's done the hard yards. He was under Neil Danaher, which was a great time at Melbourne. And then he's been Clarko's right-hand man right through this four premiership era that's probably the equal of Arnie Collingwood in the early 20s.
Yep. Purple, we need to get a break. Anything else before we get there?
Just firming, and it has been this way for some time, Jim. Jack Steele, the GWS player, who's now had his season finished on the back of a foot injury, but nothing's ever certain, but it's looming that St Kilda is going to be able to secure that name pretty early in the trade period.
When we finish here, and that's not far away, we're heading up to Sydney. Massive, massive game. First against fourth, the Swans against GWS, and intriguing out at Stadium Australia as to what GWS are going to bring to the table, ANZ Stadium, because it's the first time this emerging club is going to play in a final, and the first time any of us are going to get a look at some of the best young talent in the game under the heat of September. And this man knows plenty about that. He played lots of amazing finals football for the Saints, now a part of the GWS coaching group. I speak of Lenny Hayes. Leonard, nice talking to you always.
Yeah, thanks, JB. Good to be with you.
Hey, we just got to contain Spud. I said earlier, as soon as you come on, Spud gets that firm out the front. He nearly has to bloody park it sideways. Now, let me ask you this. You've got these amazing blokes, Lenny, who have played a lot of finals footy. I speak of Heath Shaw, of course, premiership player at Collingwood, Big Mummy and a few others who will know. You know what you're going to get from them today, but the Kellys and the Dev Smiths, and these are the boys that interest me. How do you assess their mindset?
Oh, they've been pretty relaxed all week. I think having the experience of Stevie J and a few of those older boys around has probably helped them, but no doubt it's going to be on early. I think we've prepared for that, and I mean, every time you play the Swans, it's a really tough physical game. So, look, hopefully they settle after that first 5 to 10 minute period and play well, and I'm confident that they will.
Lenny, good luck today. It must be exciting for you, you know, being a first-year coach. It's a great performance, but what have you said to the midfield this week, obviously with your experiences, and obviously you look at Sydney as well, because they're as hard as a cat's head, but do you pass on any things that, you know, in the first final, just, you know, be composed, you know, get some yardage early? What do you tell the guys?
Yeah, keep it pretty simple, Spud. You know, it's all about, you know, trying to get first hands on the footy and get it going your way. We know it's going to be scrappy early, but look, the guys have played in some, you know, we played the Swans in round 12 at Spotless. That was a pretty big game. No doubt that this is going to be the biggest crowd that some of these boys have played in front of. But I think the game will probably be won and lost in the midfield. You know, they've got an All-Australian midfield, some really good players there. But we feel that we can roll a few through there and hopefully get them on the outside a little bit.
The enthusiasm of the group, have you found you've probably just had to bring that back a bit, or do you just let it go?
No, look, it's something that Leon, you know, lets the boys let them go a little bit, and And that's something that I've noticed, that he doesn't tend to rein them in too much in terms of, they're allowed to play with a little bit of flair, and I think that's one of our strengths. It doesn't seem like too much phases this group. I don't know if you've seen the boys pre-game, but they get the soccer ball out there and have a kick around, and that was something pretty foreign to me. I'm like, put that thing away and let's get down to business. But they've always been pretty relaxed about it, and I think that's one of their strengths, and hopefully that holds them in good stead in big games.
How have the relaxation levels been for Lachie Whitfield the past 2 weeks, Lenny?
Yeah, I think he's been pretty good, Damien. Look, obviously there's been a bit going on the outside, but internally we've supported him really strongly and he's just gone about his business. So, there's not much that he can do from here until, he obviously finds out a result of the investigation that's going on. But from my point of view, he's been first rate in the way he's handled himself.
The forward line combination that you've got today and have had successfully throughout the course of 2016, it's waxed and waned as to who the most important player is in the eyes of the opposition. As we go into today's game and given the recent form, the most recent form, it's probably Jonathan Paton. What's happened to him in terms of the past 3 to 4 weeks, just to how he's elevated himself, maybe even above Cameron and Lobb?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good call there. I think it's that's a real strength of ours, having Lobb and Jeremy and Johnny down there. It's really hard for the opposition to contain all three of them. So I think Johnny's been flying at the ball really aggressively and strongly. He's created a really good contest and he's been kicking pretty straight, but he's done a lot of work with Brad Miller's been really good for him in terms of getting off his opponent and in terms of the body work and the little nuances that you need to play key forward, and I know that Duck caught up with him a couple of weeks ago, so he should probably take some credit too.
I don't think so, Lenny. Hey, you touched on the start before. I'm always intrigued about, you've obviously got premiership players on each line, and then you've got a filtering of finals experience in Griffiths and Ward and Patful and these guys through your team. How important is that start? I think if you guys are in it at quarter time, you can absorb that real physicality that Sydney are going to bring. It's really important.
Yeah, it is, Duck. I think any time that you play against the Swans, you need to start well, because we know that they bring that aggressive brand of football to the game. And I think that the longer that the game goes on, we're hoping that if we can match them inside, that I think our strength is been able to get them with a little bit of run on the outside. Look, that's the plan. It doesn't always come off like that, but that's certainly the start. There's a lot of focus on it. We've prepared for it over the last 12 days, so we're hoping that the boys are on early.
Really like the way Haynes goes about it, Lenny. Will he get the big job?
I think there'll be a number of players that rotate through him, Spud. Buddy tends to come up a little bit high if he's not getting involved in the game, so Phil might come up with him, or he might hand over to Hainsey or one of the smaller defenders when he comes up off the back of the stoppage. So that'll be obviously a crucial part of the game and something that, look, Phil's had a pretty good record on Buddy in the past, but he's such a dangerous player that we know that he won't be contained for the whole game. It's just about limiting his influence.
You had some great duels as a player at St Kilda against Collingwood, and Heath Shaw was in that premiership team. You're probably not surprised by the footy smarts of Heath and the amount of talk and the way he sets up the play behind the stoppage. It must be easier to coach when you've got a guy like Heath Shaw setting up the youngsters.
Yeah, you're right, Spud. It's seeing him up close, he's a much better player than I ever thought he was. And look, I always had a lot of respect for him, especially when he was playing at Collingwood. But the way he's played this year and the way he leads that back line, we're really fortunate to have him, and a guy like Stevie Johnson up forward has provided that role as well. So, and then you've got guys like Callan Ward and Ryan Griffin through the midfield. But sure, he's had another outstanding year and All Australian once again. So he'll need to play well again today for a chance of winning.
Just on Shorey, have you got a plan if they play a defensive forward on him? Because I noticed in a couple of games on the run home, that's exactly what teams have done. And in those particular games, you've struggled with your run from defence when they've done that.
Yeah, Duck, it's something that we have spoken about. I think a couple of teams have gone that way. I think, if someone goes to him, then Wilson and Williams tend to get off the chain a little bit. So that's another one of our strengths, is the three guys that we have rebounding. But Shorey, he doesn't tend to mind too much, because he's such a good one-on-one player. If someone's going to him, he can just dictate his positioning, which will help us.
You've had a dream start, Lenny. Is it all you expected to be coaching? Because you dipped in the toe in the water at AFL House, and you probably thought, oh, administration looks okay, but not for me. Are you wrapped? You've made this decision?
Yeah, I am, Spud. I mean, it's definitely a challenge coaching, and you know that. It's, you put in long hours, but the club environment's a really good environment, and pretty lucky to be working with the group of players I am, but even just the whole club itself, only been around 5 or 6 years, but there's a lot of good people involved, mate, so I'm loving it.
You'd probably have to get out of Melbourne just to get Spud
yeah,
to stop dagging you, wouldn't you? Because it's either you or Louie who he is obsessed with.
Sam Fisher and some of these key backs.
Actually, Sam has elevated himself in Spud's eyes.
Certainly has. I mean, he's the golden fist, you know, he's just... Spud's all over him, dagging over.
Don't tip into him, Lenny.
Nah, I still love you, Spud. Well, I love you, Spud.
I love you too.
He's got a soft spot for Louie, though, doesn't he?
Nah, Lenny go way back.
Hey, Lenny, speaking of Spud, he only ever sees one area of the ground, and I keep telling him about this kid, Jacob Hopper. He keeps talking about bloody Hainsey, and this young man, Leonard, could end up being close to the best of the lot of them. He's only played 10 or so games, but he's got plenty.
Yeah, he does. He does, JB. He when you talk about blokes as hard as a cat's head, he's right up there. I've never seen like him and Matty Kennedy, who've come through the academy system, two hardest players I've seen at 18 throughout my time in footy. So he's still, you know, learning and developing. But for him to play in a qualifying final in his 9th or 10th game, it's a real credit to him and how hard he's worked.
Keep an eye on him, Spud.
No, I like him.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, but he got a
nomination after his first game.
Exactly right. And as Lenny, you don't need to give him too much credit early. Just get 30 or 40 under your belt, and then we'll start.
Well, he got 30-odd up front, first game, 30
possessions. 30 games. Or 40 games.
So just keep an eye on him, Spud, and then when he becomes a superstar, you say, well, I actually remember Jim mentioning him early on.
Someone must have told you.
Oh, I haven't listened to you. Hey, Lenny.
Yes, mate.
Good luck today, mate.
No, cheers, mate. Thanks for having me, boys.
Love you, Lenny.
Good on you. Good on you, Spud. Love you.
Love you. Can you believe what we're hearing? Just been a very, very nice helping for all concerned, and the Wolfpack would have got right around it, Purple.
They have, Jim. They particularly liked Spud's work in his traditional segment around about the 12:30 time of the afternoon when he just went nuts on a few people.
Well, he was doing the head wobble.
They liked it, though, when it got turned back on himself at the end. And Gareth,
I didn't like that.
Gareth Harris said that you are a hypocrite, Spud.
Yeah, no doubt he is.
You are the number one head wobbler of 2016.
No question of that.
Shane Budge says that was one of his better efforts, Spud, but your delivery was Bill Brownless. Chris Ireland said that you just become a talking machine. And Brad Cook said that I think Spud has Jared Waitley covered when it comes to the me department.
I wouldn't have thought so. What about you and the emoji? You left a couple of them
out.
Well,
we just left that out. Yeah,
come on.
Jimmy Traffic, can you find Pinot Noir on the safaris?
Pinot Noir.
What's it called then?
Pinot Noir.
Just Pinot.
There's different types of Pinot.
You could go with that, but I like it, Spud, because it was one that backfired on you. You thought you were travelling beautifully, and then just at the end of it, we pointed out that the week before you'd had a whole article about yourself at Moorabbin, and because people weren't that interested in it, it was only a couple of lines rather than a double pager.
Well, Jim, it was meant to be about Moorabbin. Glenn McFarlane is doing a wonderful series about the old Victorian suburban grounds, and every other person who's been involved in these stories about the ground has referred to the ground. You made it about yourself somehow.
There has been a real difference in...
Well, even the game where Plugger kicked 12, you somehow had to remind people that was your 150th game.
Yeah. That's probably why he kicked 12.
Wedged yourself into that as well.
He kicked 12 and you're talking about, it was my 150th.
The finish, I'm just going to delete that, but I thought the...
John Anderson and Jared Waitley interview on the phone. Very good. Like, come here,
Not about me.
Hey, we were just talking to Lenny Hayes. This game, of the four for me, is the most intriguing, I reckon. They're all going to be ripper games. The two already have been great. But this one, just to see these young GWS kids and how they handle playing against a battle-hardened, extraordinarily experienced outfit in the Sydney Swans in their first ever final.
Well, Lenny said as much 5 minutes ago, didn't he? He said, inside they're going to be hard to beat, but we've got to try to get them on the outside with speed. And that's this game in a nutshell. I mean, they are so strong in and around the footy, those bigger bodies. But if GWS can get them on the outside and get a little bit of time and space to use the footy, that potency in that four line, I know they've got Franklin and Heaney and, Tippett and these guys, but I tell you what, that if they click, they are going to take some beating. It is an intriguing game for that reason. We saw last night, obviously, two contrasting styles and how close that game was. I think that's very similar to this game. You've got contrasting styles in terms of one just, bullocking in there, and then the other one with young legs and speed. So it's It's going to be a cracker.
When you look at the Swans backline, Spud, and this is your domain clearly, when you think that of the six men that have become crucial to what's happened, two of them are in their first season of AFL football. Alia holding down one of the key posts, and Jim's already discussed with Lenny Hayes before, sorry, with Stewie Jew before, with about Callum Mills. But they've played a combined 15, 25 games thereabouts, and yet they are holding up in a team that finished top of the ladder.
No, it's amazing, and it's well done from John Longmire. The Sydney Academy is reaping the benefits. There's no doubt in that. And Alia, you'd swear he's played three seasons, Duck. Obviously, they've done a hell of a lot of work with him in the Neufel with the Sydney Swans affiliate team, and their development of those two kids must be absolutely first class. And look, under pressure, they've been outstanding. You'd think today, gee, inexperienced guys. Mm. But you've also got to understand, GWS, this is their first final. Will they get stage fright? I don't think they will. I think they've got enough spunk in their mojo to not even worry about it, actually thrive on it. That's what I'm looking forward to, Duck, to see if there's any sort of like West Coast Eagles. They were like rabbit in a spotlight Thursday night. I don't think you'll see that with GWS today.
It's funny you say that because you're right. Sydney have played so many finals that you just think, okay, they've got more experience and they're going to be better in this situation. But you're right. They've got a lot of new faces in this team. And I think if you go on average games, I think GWS are ahead of them by two or something. It's 109 to 107 or something like that. So it is it's fascinating for all of those reasons. ANZ Stadium, clearly. People talk, you know, does that help GWS not at the SCG? Well, Sydney have only lost two finals there, Spud. Yeah, first one against Brisbane and last year against the Kangaroos when they had a few out. So their record there in finals is very, very good.
And just to extend what you've both said there and to extend the argument on the defensive side of the equation for the Swans with Alia and Callum Mills, you've got Marsh in the team, McGlynn, who's clearly closer to the end than the beginning, Papley, who wasn't factored in at the start of the year, Duck. You've got, you know, even Hewitt, who's had a good year, but there's just so many unknown commodities at the start of this year who have become crucial operators in a team that finished top of the ladder and had it had a bit more luck than it had with some close finishes, could have been very clearly a top of the ladder.
Yeah, and Gary Rowan's a bit of a wild card for me. We know what the midfield give. We know they're going to be tough. We know they're going to be uncompromising. We know they're going to put defence, but Gary Rowan's the type of guy today, if he sets it alight, I reckon that spells danger for GWS because he's the one that gets off the chain a lot if he's allowed to. Unless he's been inconsistent, but the upside of him could be huge on the big stage today.
I want to see Big Mumford against his old club and filthy, just freshened up a little. Filthy Duck about the fact that they didn't want him enough to hang on to him. He's gone over to the other side and he takes it personally every time they play against Sydney. He wants to club people and he wants them not to get up.
Yeah, and it's gonna and that will be that. Well, that's crucial in the fact that we talk about Sydney being such an inside team, and then you've got Mummy, who, as you said, it's going to be crash and bash. He will make a path for these, I guess, younger, quicker on ballers that he's got at his disposal. For all of those reasons, there will be anger, and remembering that the reason why Mummy left was because of Buddy and Tippett Tippett coming to the club. They couldn't sort of afford to. Well, they couldn't afford to keep him in there. Yep. So. Look, it is. I'm seriously can't wait. I'm going to get off here. I know you've got a flight to catch. I'll be straight home on the couch to sit up and watch this one.
My understanding, Spud, that at stoppages, he starts nominating blokes.
Yeah, he does.
Like Hanbury, whoever it is, he says, I'm coming. As soon as this tap work's finished, just get out of my way. And I love that.
No, I do. He's a human
wrecking
ball.
Exactly what you want for your big blokes.
His second efforts for a big man is outstanding. And the thing about it, Duck, he loves it. He just finds a yard if there's a body there. And I think that's, you know, he's just a big human wrecking ball. And just on your flight, JB, you're flying down the back of the plane or what are you?
Yep.
Okay.
Down the back.
Which aircraft?
Down the back of the...
Right down the back is how I go. Now, listen to me here. Speaking of blokes like Big Mummify, someone had, it must have been on Fox Repeat Games or something, Duck, the 94 prelim final where Ablett kicked the goal after the siren. The only reason I was watching it was because I'd forgotten that North Melbourne had a similar ruckman that day. Big Russian Alexashenko, who probably not quite as athletic as Big Mummify, but equally very keen to hurt people.
Absolutely. And what gets missed is those big guys, I mean, as we said, they open a path for their on-ballers, but both strong marks, they get into the right positions, they know when to go forward, they know when to go back. It is, if I'm Tippett, I'm coming into this game today and I'm sort of going, well, yeah, I'm going to be, I'm going to come off sore. I'm going to come off sore.
And Naismith too, Ducky. He's had a really good year, hasn't he, when he's covered initially for Tippett and obviously latterly for Sinclair, who you know, is now not even considered to be a big loss given how well Naismith has come through.
But he's a greenhorn and he'll look across the line purple and he'll see the big man. And this is what I love. Yeah. I mean, we love the NFL and that's what the big linebackers do. They just have a look at the quarterback and go, mate, I am coming at you. And if you're not able to soak it up, you're going to end up sore.
Cam Newton style yesterday.
And it's just brilliant. I love this, the combative nature of finals footy, which I absolutely love. Hey, been an unbelievably good rub, by the way. This one, crikey.
Yeah, not good. As good as last week.
No, apparently underwhelming last week. In fact, I heard you were particularly underwhelming. Nah, but you need strong guidance from above.
You were a talking machine last week.
Yeah, I was okay.
You were no good at all.
Group one, group two, that's all I deliver.
You didn't quite get the words in the right order.
Nothing unusual.
You've been good today, though.
Oh, better, as usual.
Because strong guidance. This is the thing with you, Spud. You're capable of very good performance if you've guided strongly, but when you're left with your own head, you can come up with the greatest lot of crap.
I've become a bit dishevelled, unhinged.
Enjoy the footy, everyone, this afternoon. It's going to be brilliant. Day.
Good luck,
GWS Sydney.
Good luck, North.
And then Adelaide, JB. North Melbourne, thank you, later on. So all of that coming your way.
Burrito.
Enjoy the rest of the day. Guys and girls, thank you, Hose, you're a star, for the Fiat Ducato.
Big
this
nose.
Has been the Saturday Rub. Big Nose, of course, and for McDonald's.
Moji.
Triple M rocks, finals footy.
Shut up, the footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.